This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hanson of FantasyPoints.com, the program per usual being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and a pretty big program forthcoming, if I don't say so myself. Wild card weekend ended last night in horrific fashion for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hashtag as expected. We'll break that down. We'll talk about the prop edge. Had a pretty good night here. I pulled a couple out my you-know-what to get some dubs here to make it a winning week, which we did accomplish that goal, at least going over 500 on the props. It's been pretty rough out there on the prop streets, but we got it done last night. We'll break it down here at the top, talk about, you know, what it all means going forward. We'll also, of course, it is a Tuesday, we'll check in with our guy, Mr. Tuesday, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Today. And I cannot believe how quickly 7 days goes. Feels like we just had Steve on like 3 days ago, but no, that was actually 1 week ago. He hooked us up with some good data points for wild card weekend, and he'll do the same today for the divisional round of the playoffs. I see props are already out. It's like, all right, guys, we know you can do it now. I guess fewer games makes it a little easier. I can relate to that, but that was pretty quick. Sal Capaccio will join the show as well, who covers the Buffalo Bills, radio announcer there for the radio station, also does play-by-play. So we'll check in with him on a lot of things, like the emergence of Brandon Cook, the schematic matchup for James Cook against the Denver Broncos, the schematic matchup for RJ Harvey up against that suspect Bills run D. So we'll try and get as much information out of Sal as we possibly can. And then we will take a look at the O-line D-line matchups for the divisional round of the playoffs, which is why I'm thinking schematic matchups and the like. I think this exercise has gone pretty darn well, even though we came just close, just short on a couple of running props. We lost the DeAndre Swift prop by, I think it was 2 yards. We lost the Kyren Williams prop by like 5 or 6. But the schematic data absolutely overall is helping us out here. The program, as always, is available wherever the hell you get your pods, Apple or Spotify. Make sure you're subscribed and you're downloading the episodes. We will continue this show. I won't once the Super Bowl occurs, but you know, you can subscribe to the Prop Points podcast and get content year round. Well, let's take a look here at the results, the propage from yesterday's show. A little bit of a risk to come up with, I think it was 6, but we go 4-2 on the props. Actually, we were undefeated on non-CJ Stroud props, but shout out to Woody Marks. Absolutely unbelievable. This is what I'm saying about the Steelers defense. The Steelers are so bad and mediocre that I'm personally offended. I don't even care, really. I shouldn't. But 1 week, they're terrible. 2 weeks ago, in basically a playoff game, they forgot to cover Zay Flowers a couple times down the field. He's wide open. And then last night, they forgot to stop the run. They had no idea how to do it. And Woody Marks, I mean, I think we got there, 54.5. He did double it, averaging 5.9 yards a carry. This is pathetic. In Pittsburgh, I mean, unbelievable. 5.9 yards a carry. He scores. Also, the Kenny Gainwell prop. I was a little worried because he ripped off a 14-yarder somewhat early in the game. And then he got tackled for a loss on a number of runs. So I was in on that way back, like on Wednesday last week, I believe, or Thursday. And yeah, boom, we got it right. 30.5. My man got only, what did he get, 20? 6 carries for 20 yards. I did say and thought that it would be more of a Warren game on the ground. He doubled up Gainwell. Of course, he didn't do that much either. How about CJ Stroud, though? It's like, dude, there were multiple opportunities to take off and run and extend plays. There was one in particular where early in the game, he threw a bad ball down the field, right side. I think it was to Nico Collins, but it's like, dude, you got like 12 yards in front of you. They're not winning. That was my pick to make it to the Super Bowl. They're not going to make it if Stroud is too afraid to run, which is the only explanation. I know he got concussed, and I know that specifically because I was in on a rushing prop for Stroud the week he got concussed. Didn't hit the prop either, and since then he really has not run. He has a couple games where he's run a little bit, but like I mentioned on yesterday's show, that was easy money for the first 2 months of the season before the concussion. I mean, the number was always realistic. It was like 11.5, and last night that's what it was, 11.5. My man got zero. He tied our producer with zero rushing yards, Michael Cohen. Way to go, Mike. You tied C.J. Stroud in rushing last night. Unbelievable. So there's that. But how about my guy, Christian Kirk? Now, I was telling our producer, Michael Cohen, it's a little frustrating because, I mean, normally this would have been a play I would have laddered it up, and maybe I would have gone on, you know, an alternative yardage total for the Monday night special. But I'm like, I can't trust it. They spread the ball around. Stroud kind of stinks as well. But man, oh man, did he absolutely slay. 9 targets, 8 grabs, buck 44. I mean, we got the prop on the first passing play of the game. You can't get any better than that. A 46-yarder. That's exactly what I said. When you're up against a man-heavy defense, this guy gets open. I've always liked Christian Kirk. People make fun of me because I have to mention, oh, I interviewed him at the combine. Yes, I do. Yes, I do have to mention it because my track record, and I'm the only one truly keeping track of this, when I have a good vibe on a guy, guy ends up usually pretty good. I'll give you an example of a guy who didn't work out in that good vibe thing. Amir Abdullah. I loved Amir Abdullah. And yeah, it didn't really happen, but the guy's been in the league for 12 years, so there's clearly something going on there. So, yeah, that's one of the things I do. And by the way, so do NFL teams when they interview players. They size them up. They get a vibe, you know, and that's what I do. That's why I bring it up. But yeah, Christian Kirk was a guy. And by the way, speaking of vibes, and again, I've said this a million times, these guys didn't do much, and Jalen Noel only got one target. These two dudes are awesome. We had an opportunity over at fantasypoints.com. We interviewed them both on the field at the Senior Bowl last year. And again, amazing guys, very good players, good dudes at the end of the day. And that, I think that means something. You know, I think there's always been a correlation between, yeah, that's a good dude right there, and a guy who's really good at football. Of course, we know that there are some bad dudes out there as well. And we don't like them. Basically, I don't know if we're going to call DK Metcalf a bad guy just yet, but he's kind of a villain. And full disclosure, I've always been a DK hater. I mean, we kind of saw why last night. It's like the first couple of balls, granted, they were probably scripted plays and they were lost after that. But, you know, he looked like a dominant player. I'm like, whoa, 25 yarder. And then what? Nothing. Crickets for DK Metcalf. And how about Adam Thielen? That was the Monday night special. We took a shot. It was 10-1 plus 1,000. I mean, what are you going to do? But if you notice, he wasn't even on the field for much of the first quarter. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on here? You notice though, they went for it on fourth down, Thielen. Then they got to the red zone. They didn't make many trips to the red zone, but when they were in the red zone, Mr. Thielen was out there. But at the very least, very similar to Kirk, couldn't go all in, but the number was pretty darn good, so we had to do it, and he crushed that. He almost doubled that one up. This is how bad it is. It's like we're high-fiving people when a dude gets to 25 yards. It's like, way to go, man, 25 yards. Wow, unbelievable. But I understand he's also an older player. Now, we also did not get the C.J. Stroud prop. I did like him to throw a couple of tutties. He did get the one, and that was it. But, you know, at the end of the day, the numbers look pretty good. But Stroud, not good. Not good at all. I was yelling, quite frankly, for Davis Mills. I think, by the way, if the Texans struggle, like they were struggling with Stroud, I think they pull him. They probably won't, but I think they should. I think Davis Mills is probably better than CJ Stroud at this point. Stroud maybe has a, you know, better arm, a little bit more mobility, but just, I think Davis Mills runs the offense a little better. Any other closing thoughts here? Well, long off season for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I will make a prediction right now on the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2026. Their quarterback, they will go and get, in my opinion, Malik Willis. I'll tell you exactly why. I was at the Senior Bowl that year, 3 years ago. Tomlin was just stalking Malik Willis. He's all over the place watching him, and seemed to be a very interested observer, big time interested. Didn't work out with Justin Fields, but I do believe that the Steelers will be a key player, the odds-on favorite, if you will, to land Malik Willis, who I do think is pretty darn good. We will check in with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of FantasyPoints.com on the other side. But first, we're getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using the promo code PROP. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long. Full access to daily best bets, real-time DraftKings circuit betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and more. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code PROP. Save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription. That's vsin.com/subscribe. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. The analysis never stops. Wildcard weekend just ended like 13 hours ago. We're already on to the divisional round trying to mine for data gems, and our lead miner over at fantasypoints.com and over here on the Tuesday edition of the program, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst, and on the X machine at Call Me Steve-O-7. What is up, Steve? Ready to rock and roll, I'm sure. What'd you think of Wild Card Weekend?
I thought Wild Card Weekend was awesome. I mean, a couple two tough games to finish, but we also went 5-for-5 last week, so feeling pretty good after it.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. Well, one thing I enjoy is, you know, it's a little mean, but I enjoy watching podcast hosts and radio hosts and fans cry after their team loses. Like, I saw a number of Packer fans just absolutely lugubrious. They were morose, if you will, and just crying in their beers. Caleb Williams got them. Unbelievable comeback. But this week, maybe not much, but definitely a difficult task here. It is in Chicago, though, against those LA Rams, and you like an over here on Caleb. What do you see?
I actually changed my mind. I think I'm going to go under on Caleb now. After looking into it more, I think with – no, that's okay. I think with the Rams running 58.5% too high coverage, with this, which is fifth most in the NFL, I just think that Caleb has struggled against too high coverage. He's has a 47.6% completion percentage, just a 60.8% catchable ball rate, and averages 5.25 yards per attempt. And that, coupled with the Rams, have been susceptible in the run game, allowing 4.95 yards per attempt since week 13. Yeah. Against the Rams in 2024, Ben Johnson ran it 28 times. I think, like, this team is somewhat similar in that the defense of the Bears, you know, they have holes, they can get beat up at times. And I think the goal will be to kind of control the game and keep the ball out of Matt Stafford's hands, which kind of lends to Caleb Williams probably not dropping back as much and them leaning a little bit more into the run game and kind of, yeah, just neutering Caleb just because of his inabilities against too high, especially because it just, he just sails throws. He tries to fit into tight windows. He pushes it down the ball down the field with like the seventh highest ADOT at 9.5 against too high coverage. So I really think he'll go under and it'll be a ball control game for the Bears.
There really truly is a disconnect between the reality that we kind of feel is real, that Caleb is like really coming to his own and he's a rocket ship and all that. But at the end of the day, if you're really studying the all 22, he's actually not playing nearly as well as the perception there. But you got to give him some credit though. You know, he protects the ball. He escapes the rush. You know, he's got a hose for an arm. I mean, he does have a cannon. So there is still a lot to like about what Caleb Williams is doing right now. Well, his top target basically is Colston Loveland. And I kind of did say this. Now, I was out on Loveland. I thought he was really overvalued. But after the first 2 months of the season, I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to buy. And I'm like, I kind of view him as the number one receiver. I think he's kind of been that. I mean, DJ Moore kind of drifts in and out of relevancy. And, of course, Rome Odunze has been banged up. What do you see on Loveland here against L.A.?
Yeah, I agree. I think that there was a lot of debate. It was it going to be Burden? Was it going to be Odunes when he comes back? What about DJ Moore? But really, I think it just comes down to Colston Loveland's a really good receiver. He's really reliable against too high coverage. I mean, he had 9 targets against too high coverage against the Packers in the wild card round. And he averages 2.08 yards per route run against too high coverage. And the Rams allow 8.31 yards per attempt to in-line targets since week 13, which is 9th highest in the NFL. Loveland is a mismatch wherever he kind of lines up. The Bears like to move him around quite a bit. And I think that he's become that guy where when you have a guy that big, that's that fast, that can move like he can, he is just a mismatch. And I think with the Rams linebackers, them probably pushing to defend deep a little bit more against Caleb, I think this offers a lot more opportunities for Caleb, Colston Loveland to have a good game against the Rams and be the guy that kind of keeps that pass game on pace and help the ball a little bit more.
We are chopping it up with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data on the X machine at Call Me Steve O. If you would bet $1 million on each one of his plays last week, you'd be up $5 million. So just saying. Next up, Steve, Brock Purdy. I'm looking at some of the data. It does look a little scary. I do think we're going to be talking O-line, D-line matchups in 2 segments from now. I do think, number one, I don't want to steal your thunder, but Seattle's going to run all over them, basically, is what I think, and eat up a lot of clock here. But what do you see with Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because if you look at his stats as a whole, Brock Purdy's done really well against too high coverage, which the Seattle leans into a good amount. They run, you know, top 10 too high coverage in the NFL. They've allowed just 5.59 yards per attempt overall since week 13. Brock Purdy had 4.7 yards per attempt in week 18 against Seattle. With Kittle out, that accounts for 20.7% of his targets against too high coverage. Overall, he was forced to check it down a decent amount. I think Seattle's secondary is one of the best in the NFL. And it just kind of lends to, with their pass rush, like you said, Seattle's ability to control the ball. I think Purdy's going to have another game where he struggles, especially with, you know, I just don't think DeMarcus Robinson is going to be able to create the separation that he did against Philadelphia. And I just think the game's going to go similarly to how both games against Seattle went. And that's been Brock Purdy getting, you know, shut down pretty well against that secondary.
Next up here, can't believe it. I was considering putting up a DNP list for the rest of the playoffs. And what a DNP list is, it's not did not practice. It's do not play ever again. And I was going to put Stephon Diggs on there because I'm still butthurt about last week. I thought it would be a big Diggs week. It was not, but you are liking it here. So you'll have to give me some good points on this one. He's going to see, I would believe, outside, obviously, Latimer or Stingley. So what do you see here with Stephon Diggs?
With this, I think it's more of that Houston has run the most single high, the eighth most single high coverage since week 18. They went more too high against the Steelers, but I think with New England's ability to run the ball and Drake May's ability to rush the ball against too high coverage, he has 31 rushing attempts against too high coverage this year. And Stephon Diggs against single high has averaged 2.79 yards per route run. He has an 18.2% target share. Against two high coverage, he has a 17.2% target share, which is second on the team and averages 2.04 yards per route run. But where I think that it shifts towards Diggs this week is that against the Chargers, may look toward his tight ends more often, but Houston allows just 4.7 yards per attempt to inline targets when they're in too high. So I think with Stephon Diggs' ability to move around the formation, they move him about 50-50 outside to slot. Houston allows 8.19 yards per attempt to slot targets. I think that the Houston defense is just going to kind of naturally force May to look towards Diggs more often this week.
And you know what the best analysis point for you on that one is? You didn't play Diggs last week and die like a dog, basically. And then finally, Bo Nix. I like this one, too. You like the over-rushing. Buffalo's been a little suspect against running quarterbacks all year.
Yeah, and Buffalo's been really good in the pass game. They've leaned a lot more too high since week 13. They're running 67% too high defense, which is second highest in the NFL. And in that time frame, they've also given up 11 yards per scramble since week 13. Bo Nix had 41 rushing yards on scrambles against Buffalo last season in the playoffs. He had 19 scrambles against too high coverage this season, which is top 10 in the NFL. The Bills have allowed just 5.68 yards per attempt since week 13, and Bo Nix has the seventh fastest time to scramble. And the Bills have allowed the ninth longest time to throw. So all of that kind of lines up to, I think that Bo Nix with, you know, Buffalo mixing up the coverage a little bit, showing him some different looks, I think that Bo Nix will end up looking to run a little bit more to try to keep himself on pace.
Great stuff, Stephen. We won't mention your record last week again, because if we do, we'll certainly curse you this week. But great Absolutely. Job as always. And we'll do it again next week. Number Absolutely. Of games cut in half, but still has some data points to make. Stephen O'Rourke, Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data. We'll talk with Sal Capaccio on the other side. We'll talk Buffalo Bills, but first, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. Buffalo Bills talk ahead of their matchup with the Houston Texans next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and we go, as promised, to the progressive guest line, Sal Capaccio, Buffalo Bills beat reporter, sideline reporter, WGR Sports Radio, 550 AM. And I see here the 2025 Sports Broadcaster of the Year, Buffalo Sports Broadcaster of the Year, on the X Machine at Sal Sports. Sal, welcome to the program. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Very honored for that honor. So many great broadcasters in this market. So I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. My guy Chris Brown doing a hell of a job there on the TV side of things. Well, let's get into it here, Sal. My first question is, we've all been calling Josh Allen Superman pretty much from day one. I interviewed him at his combine. I couldn't believe how just exhausted he was from the whole process. But great guy, unbelievable dude. My question is, how is that cape, though? I'm sure we got a lot of tears and rips in that cape from the game against Jacksonville. How's Josh's health right now, you think?
Yeah, he's pretty banged up, but he's Josh Allen. We do call him Superman, but I like to say he's John Wayne plus Paul Bunyan plus Superman all rolled up into one. I mean, the guy is as tough as nails, as tough as they come. He really is. And, you know, he's like Paul Bunyan. He's this huge monster of a quarterback, but he's got a rocket for an arm, right? We all know that. And he's super talented, and that's where the Superman part comes in, where he can just do things that other people simply can't. Athletically, even, you know, mentally, he's so mentally tough. He's so great at every really aspect of playing the position, and that's what makes him so great and so tough to defend for anybody. But health-wise, I mean, last week he already went into the game with pretty much one foot, and then he came out during the game with one knee and a head injury and one hand, a throwing hand injury. I mean, there's nothing that he's not suffering from right now, it feels like, but he'll be out on the field on Saturday against the Denver Broncos, and he'll do everything he can to be as, you know, much in possible shape as he can to be his best version of himself.
Got to ask you about Brandon Cooks. We had our guy Nick Bakay on last week, a noted Buffalo Bills fan, and he was in on—
I know Nick, yeah.
Yeah, he was in on the Brandon Cooks prop, like over his yardage and over the catch total, and I was with him. I've always, of course, been a big Brandon Cooks guy, but I also like Josh Palmer this offseason. When you guys got him, I'm like, hey, it makes sense. I mean, he's not a stud, but there's a guy who can beat man coverage. You know, nightmare season for Palmer. So the question is Brandon Cooks that guy now? Is he, like, arguably your top outside receiver? I know it sounds absurd. He just joined the team like a month ago, but it seems like he is production-wise. What are you seeing here with Brandon Cooks, and how does that continue this week?
I do think he's pretty much the de facto number one outside guy. But what is that saying about a group that's really doesn't really have a number one guy, right?
Right.
And that's not to take anything away from Brandon Cooks. I mean, he made a couple fantastic plays over the last couple of weeks. He's also dropped a few passes that were right in his breadbasket from Josh Allen that have hurt the team, but he's made up for it with some fantastic catches. But the biggest thing he brings is an ability to get down the field, which this team really lacked throughout the year. And Josh Palmer was going to be that guy. You know, the game that he got hurt that really set him back and never fully recovered from was that Monday night game, the loss in Atlanta. And the first play of the game, the Bills go down the field to Josh Palmer. You're like, okay, that's what we've been waiting to see. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
He gets hurt in that game. He never fully recovers. And also going into this game, we'll see what happens this week. The Bills have activated or at least opened the practice window of Curtis Samuel. And he's a guy that has an ability to get down the field as well. And he did score a touchdown last year in the Denver Broncos playoff game in Buffalo. So Gabe Davis has a torn ACL. That's unfortunate. As you just mentioned, Josh Palmer's on IR. But I think Brandon Cooks has kind of stabilized the outside receiver area for the Bills, if you will, by giving them more of a threat than what they had. And we'll see if Curtis Samuel can offer anything now.
Yeah, it's a good tip there because, you know, as you know, I'm sure, Curtis Samuel actually played for Joe Brady there in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Sal Capaccio on the line with us here on the X Machine at Sal's Sports. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of data points here on your schematic matchup here for the running game. Obviously, that's critical, and it has been all year. James Cook slowing down a little bit, but maybe a little bit more needed here. Now, doesn't look like the greatest schematic matchup. Denver gave up 3.64 yards per carry on zone runs the last 8 weeks, sixth best. 4.21 on man gap runs, sixth best. Cook, 4.84 on zone runs, only 20th out of 69, so he kind of fell off a little bit. He actually has been pretty good on those man gap runs, 4.83. So that shows he's a damn good running back. He's good on, you know, all types of runs. But what do you think about Cook's matchup here against Denver? Again, they're pretty stingy overall against running backs.
Yeah, this is the Bills just last week faced the number one rushing defense in the NFL in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their reward is to face the number two rushing defense in the NFL, the Denver Broncos, by beating them, right? I mean, like, it's pretty amazing, actually, you know, how good Denver is at all levels. And the fact that, you know, again, the Bills are as great as they are running the football, the number one rush offense in the NFL. They're going to now have to go against back-to-back weeks, the top two rushing defenses in the NFL, 91 yards a game. And what separates Denver from Jacksonville is the fact that they can also get after the quarterback, which we can talk about. But this is a tough matchup for the Bills' run game. What I like, though, about the Bills last week, even though, you know, the Bills didn't run the ball great last week. We know that. The numbers weren't great. But because it was always a one-score game, they never had to abandon the run. They never had to become one-dimensional. They could still hand the ball off and still stay within the game. Right. And I think that was important for them to be able to do what they needed to do offensively. One thing the Bills have really gotten a lot of this year is those chunk plays, those long touchdown runs from James Cook. And they didn't get that last week. They didn't get it against Philadelphia when they did a nice job. And that, you know, that's what can slow down the Bills' offense a little bit, not getting those chunk runs. So, you know, we'll see. Last year, though, I'll point out, the Broncos came to Buffalo with one of the top rushing defenses in the NFL in the regular season, and the Bills ran for like 200 yards, close to it, I think, against them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Great point here. Now, on the other side here for RJ Harvey, Buffalo not great, giving up 4.66 yards per carry on zone runs the last 8 weeks. That's the 10th most. Harvey is pretty good. 4.65 on zone runs, 26th best here. He's not good on the man gap run. So it looks like it's a pretty good schematic matchup for RJ Harvey. How much of a priority do you think he'll be for the defense, though?
Always a priority to stop the run first in Buffalo. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to do a great job of that this year. We know that, right? The Bills have been pretty leaky against the run. But they do have the number one pass defense in the league. So what teams do is they try to run. So, you know, they run on them and the Bills say, okay. And they, you know, it's funny. The Bills are kind of built to invite the run a little bit because they say, look, in the league, in this NFL league where these quarterbacks are great and they throw the ball all over, we'll let you run a little bit on us. We're just going to make sure you don't go over the top on us, you know, passing the ball. The Bills actually, and I know this wasn't the question you asked, but it's interesting because the Bills are the number one team in the league at not allowing explosives over the top. 140-yard pass all year they've allowed. That's it. 140-yard pass. They're the only team in the league that's allowed that few. And they're built to do that. So teams then take advantage of them a little more when they're a little more athletic and smaller by running the ball against them. This is not a great run team for Denver, but neither was Jacksonville, and they ran for 6.7 yards a carry, right? So Denver's going to try to run the football on the Buffalo Bills, and they'll have some success at times. The Bills' key is to make sure that they don't continually be able to stay on schedule by doing it.
Final question here. Maybe we can squeeze in one more, but Dalton Kincaid, you know, I'm been a little frustrated because I think he's really talented, yet they don't seem to dial up a lot of plays for him. He seems to be week to week. I know he's been banged up too, but give us an overview of Kincaid, where you think he is right now, health-wise, role-wise, and maybe any thoughts on this matchup.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been dealing with the knee injury, and then suddenly after last game, he's in a walking boot. But Sean McDermott told us it was more precautionary than anything. I think he banged his foot against the cameraman on his touchdown, believe it or not. That's what happened. But his role is he is a matchup guy, right? The Bills love him for matchups. But what he really does also is open up more of the outside because teams have to concentrate on him on the middle of the field, and that gives other people an opportunity, you know, to catch some passes. But the Bills love running multiple tight ends, two tight ends, three tight ends, because they run the ball so well, and then they'll run play action, and you get a Dalton Kincaid, even a Dawson Knox, and then once in a while sprinkle in a Jackson Hawes catch here and there as well. So I think this is an area in a game, though, where maybe Dalton Kincaid figures a little bigger. If you look at some of the analytics numbers, the Broncos have, if there's an area where they've been a little bit more susceptible, tight ends have caught, I think, over 1,000 yards in receptions on them this year, one of the higher numbers in the league.
Of course, with my luck, if I say, oh, Dalton Kincaid's scoring, that almost guarantees that Dawson Knox scores, you know, because I've always opined, maybe you can shed some insight there. I interviewed Dawson Knox at his combine and Josh Allen, both amazing guys. And I have theorized these guys are, I could see these guys being pretty tight. Is that true?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Dawson and Josh are, I mean, they're very, very good friends, no doubt. You know, Josh just got married. Dawson had got married a couple of years ago and just had his first child. Josh is about to have his first child. They're kind of going through the same stages of life at the same time. And they're very big Settlers of Catan players against and with each other as well.
Nice. A couple of good dudes. Sal Capaccio, also a good dude. Great spot, dude. Really appreciate it. Follow him on the X Machine at Sal Sports. And when we return, I'll take a look at O-line, D-line matchups for the divisional round of the playoffs.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this very busy, surprisingly busy, edition Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. That was a great spot there with Sal Capaccio. I wish we had a little bit more time to chop it up with these beat writers, because I've been doing this for decades, SiriusXM, trying to pull info out of people who are in the building, in the facility all the time. So great insight there. Time to hopefully offer up more insight. I did pop out a couple of the data points I had for Sal in terms of the good and bad O-line, D-line matchups for the divisional round of the playoffs. Of course, as it relates to the running games and all that. Well, let's start with the top four good, and then we'll do the negative Nelly. Bottom four, well, numero uno is the LA Rams. 2.62 adjusted yards before contact up against the Bears, who give up. And this is just regular season data. It's not really last week yet. Chicago Bears give up 2.68 adjusted yards before contact. By the way, I do have a best bet that I'm going to pop out at the end of this segment. I bragged about it, I guess, a little bit too much last week. We did lose one finally, the Kyren Williams prop, and we didn't lose it by much here, but we might be back with that prop, because the Bears give up the 12th most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs over the final 5 weeks of the season. Chicago gives up 4.62 yards per carry on zone runs the last 8 weeks. That is the 11th most. 58% success rate on those runs, fourth highest. They also give up 4.52 yards per carry on man gap runs, 12th highest, with a 61% success rate, third highest. Kyren Williams, 5.94 yards per carry on zone runs over the last 8 weeks, fifth best. 64% success rate, fourth best. And Kyren's 63.8 success rate on man gap runs, sixth best out of 69 running backs with at least 25 carries. So he's looking good again. Of course, Blake Corum in the mix there. That was the problem last week. Blake Corum got a little bit more play than we expected. Next up, Denver. They block up 2.37 adjusted yards before contact up against Buffalo. Sal just mentioned it. They kind of give you a little bit of room to roam there in the running game. They allow 2.44 adjusted yards before contact. Buffalo gives up the fourth most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs the final 5 weeks of the season in the running game only. It's worth 2 fantasy points, which could be 20 yards. They give up 4.66 yards per carry on zone runs last 8 weeks. That's the 10th most. A 56.2% success rate. That is the 7th most. 4.59 yard per carry given up on man gap runs. That is the 11th most. So they're suspect against everything. Now, RJ Harvey, forget it, on the man gap runs. He's not good on those. 2.84. That is 61st out of 69, but his 4.65 yards per carry on zone runs is 26th best. The 55.9% success rate is 14th best out of, again, 69 running backs with at least 25 carries. So I would, at the end of the day, say that this is a good schematic matchup for RJ Harvey. Next up, it is the Chicago Bears in that game, their running game, opening up 2.47 adjusted yards before contact up against LA. They're blocking up or giving up 1.88. Let's see here. Oh, here it is. I just gave out Chicago's data. No, here it is. LA gives up the 11th most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game. I got data overload there for a second. Chicago gives up the 11th most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs last 5 weeks. The Rams give up the most yards per carry on zone runs the last 8 weeks, 5.60. Not a good success rate, though, only 44.6, so that's 26th. DeAndre Swift is averaging 5.71 yards per carry on zone runs second half of the year. That is 10th best. His 62.8% success rate is 9th best. So Rams giving up the most yards per carry on zone runs the last 8 weeks, and Swift at 10th best yards per carry average on those runs. Rams do give up 3.41 yards per carry on man gap runs. That's the seventh best, but that's bad news for Kyle Manungai. Maybe not as much for Mr. Swift. And then finally, Seattle at San Francisco. Seattle blocking up 1.98. The Niners giving up 2.33 adjusted yards before contact. Too many NFC West teams still alive here. But this is only the fourth best, but to me, it looks really good. San Fran, now they only give up the 15th fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs the last 5 weeks. Although they give up 5.4 yards per carry on zone runs in the second half of the season, second most. Their 58% success rate on zone runs is third highest. They only give up 3.85 to man gap runs last 8 weeks, 15th best. So that would tell me, based on the whole season, that it's a way better schematic matchup for Ken Walker because they're bad against the zone runs, and Walker's 5.65 yard per carry on the zone runs is ninth best. However, Zach Charbonnet is now up to 5.28 yards per carry on zone runs. That's the 12th best. His success rate is 16th best. Walker is only 56th out of 69. San Fran is tough against the man gap runs. Charbonnet is a lot better than Walker on those runs. So basically, Charbonnet better on the man gap runs, way better, and basically just as good as Ken Walker. So Charbonnet is looking good here. We won that Charbonnet prop in week 18, and we might be back. Now, here are the bad ones. We talked about Buffalo with Sal Capaccio. Not the greatest schematic matchup here. Denver good against those zone concept runs. Buffalo blocking up 2.64, but Denver only giving up 1.54. Third on the list here, New England versus Houston. Have some interesting data here, even though it comes up as, you know, one of the worst matchups of the weekend. I still think it's kind of good because the Patriots are good. Their running game is good right now. Patriots block up 2.31. Houston only gives up 1.47. However, you know, again, they're good. Houston's good no matter how you slice it. They give up only 3.85 yards per carry on zone runs. Actually, they give up 3.85 on zone runs. That's the seventh most. But boy, I lost my place yet again, didn't I? Buffalo Bills, Denver. There it is. I'm sorry. We skipped that. Oh, New England. Here it is. Ramondre Stevenson, 71.4 success rate, second best out of 69 the last 8 weeks on those runs. So I think we're going to be all right there in New England. Houston in that same matchup. It's also confusing me because we're going back and forth here. Houston only blocks up 1.45 adjusted yards before contact. They're up against New England. They give up 2.12. Woody Marks, only 3.73 yards per carry on zone runs, as we said yesterday. Not the greatest. However, New England does give up the 12th most yards per carry on those runs. So it's kind of similar to last night. Not the greatest schematic matchup, but it's doable for Woody Marks. And then finally, San Fran up against Seattle. San Fran only blocking up 1.85. They're up against Seattle. They're only giving up 1.66. Seattle gives up the fewest schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs the last 5 weeks. They give up just 4.18 yards per carry on zone runs, 13th best, 43.5 success rate. That is the sixth lowest. Not good. CMC only 38th out of 69 running backs with at least 25 carries at 4.23 yards per carry on the zone runs. So we will not be looking into a CMC rushing prop unless we're looking at unders. Finally, the best bet that I'm going to pop out right now. We just gave you all the data points there on Zach Charbonnet, who is awesome, who has gotten a lot better on those zone runs. So Charbonnet, 5.28 yards per carry on zone concept runs, 12th best over the last 8 weeks. That is very good. But he's also solid on the man gap runs as well. So we'll go over, because I think they're going to dominate with the running game. Walker will probably go over his too. But I think Zach Charbonnet is the safer play at over 47.5 minus 110. Stay tuned after we sign off. It's Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern. On today's show, Adam Burke shares his early divisional round betting positions. And that is a wraparoni on this program. We'll catch you manana for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.